శ్రోతలకు సాయిరాం. మరికొద్దిసేపట్లో ప్రశాంతి నిలయంలోని సాయి కుల్వంత్ సభామండపం నుండి ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రసారాలను మీరు వింటారు. దయచేసి వేచి ఉండండి. Listeners, live broadcast of the proceedings from the Sai Kulwant Hall at Prashanti Nilayam will follow shortly. Please stay tuned. సాయి శ్రోతలకు సాయిరాం. మరికొద్దిసేపట్లో ప్రశాంతి నిలయంలోని సాయి కుల్వంత్ సభామండపం
జ్వాలమాలాంగులం దాది విశ్వస్యాయతనం మాత సంద సర్వం శిలాభిస్ఫులంబత్యాకోశసన్నిభం తస్యాకేషు జగం సూక్ష్మం తస్మే సర్వం ప్రతిష్ఠితం తస్య మధ్యే మహానగ్నిర్విశ్వతో ముఖః సూత్ర బుద్ధిమదంతిష్టం నామాన భజన కవే పురుషం కృష్ణ పింగళం ఊర్వరేతం విరూపాక్షం విశ్వరూపాయ వై నమో నమః నారాయణాయ విద్మహే వాసుదేవాయ ధీమహి తన్నో విష్ణు ప్రచోదయాత్.
యా దేవీ సర్వభూతేషు మాతృరూపేణ సంస్థితః నమస్తస్యై 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 నమో నమః. వి ఆఫర్ అవర్ ఒబేసాన్స్ టు ద గాడెస్ హూ ఇస్ ప్రెజెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద డివైన్ మదర్. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై మోస్ట్ హంబల్ లవింగ్ అండ్ రెవరెన్షియల్ ప్రణామ్స్ అట్ ద డివైన్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మోస్ట్ బిలవెడ్ మదర్ సాయి. Respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. Navratri is a festival of victory, of power and shakti, adored and celebrated in the three forms for 3 days each. The first 3 days are dedicated to Mahakali, the facet of shakti as anger, as adventure and as audacity, the tamasic nature. The next 3 days are dedicated to Mother Mahalakshmi, the facet of Shakti as wealth, as authority, and as prosperity, the Rajasic nature. And the last 3 days of this 9-day holy festival are dedicated to Mother Mahasaraswati, the facet of Shakti as self-control, knowledge, and discipline, which symbolizes the Sattvic nature. From the ghats of Hooghly in Paschim Banga, where the Divine Mother is worshipped as Bhavatarini Durga at Dakshineshwar, to the mutts of Kanchi and Sringeri in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, where the Mother Adishakti is worshipped as Kamakshi and Sharada. A billion Bharatiyas offer their prayers to the cosmic mother in diverse forms for 9 long days during this Navaratri festival. At the Prashanti Nilayam, we have been blessed to celebrate Devi Navaratri festival in Bhagwan's divine presence for over half a century. The Navaratri festival at Prashanti Nilayam brings together and blends ideally the triune paths of karma, upasana and jnana. While the Grama Seva activities conducted during 9 days by the students of the Sri Satyasai educational institutions give lessons in detached action and selfless service, the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna glorifies the upasana tradition and the rich Indian culture and heritage. The Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, which is held every evening during the 7 days of the Saptaha Yajnam, gives valuable lessons on the path of supreme wisdom, the Jnana Marga. Time and again, Bhagwan declared that his descent is for achieving the 4 important objectives of Veda Poshana, Vidvat Poshana, Dharma Rakshana and Bhakta Rakshana. The Veda Saptaha Jnana Yajna at Prashanti Nilayam and the varied festivities during the Navaratri festival are a manifestation of this very avataric resolve of Bhagwan. I'm very glad to share that today we complete 50 golden years since the first Veda Saptaha Jnana Yajna was performed in Bhagwan's divine physical presence at Prashanti Nilayam in Navaratri 1961. On this occasion, I take the opportunity to go back to the very first Saptaha Yajnam, which was held in Bhagwan's physical presence. And this small narration gives details into how Bhagwan had personally involved himself into the minutest details of conducting this hallowed function of the Saptaha Yajnam, which goes on for 7 auspicious days. When the list of pandits for the Yajnam was first drawn then, lists of qualified ritualists and reciters, pandits and shastris were sent to Bhagwan. But when Baba saw that they were all selected from the Kona Seema region, that is the Delta area only, he set aside that list with the remark that my Seema, which means the area, is not Kona Seema. My Seema is the Veda Seema, the place where all areas in which Vedas are revered. So the lists were revised, and the Vedic scholars and pandits were invited from other parts of India like Banaras, Hyderabad, Bangalore, along with a contingent from the Godavari basin. The Yaga was called Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna, and it consisted of 2 sections. The morning sessions every day for the 7 days was a time when the Rudra Homam would be held, and along with it the complementary rites and rituals. And the evening session was a time for the Jnana Yajna, where distinguished exponents of the Vedas explained to the vast gathering the meaning and significance of the scriptures and their subtleties and intricacies. Since the festival had to highlight the efficacy of Vedic injunctions, Swami said that scrupulous care should be taken to observe them all to the minutest detail. Let me give you a glimpse to the type of details that are observed while conducting such a hallowed yajna. These include the number, the size and the situation of the pillars of the Yajna Mandapa, the shape of the sacrificial pit, the location of the shrines of the subsidiary deities like the Yoginis, the Vastupurusha, the Kshetrapala and the Navagrahas. All of these have to be correctly fixed and placed in the right position. The Kushagras seats for the participants are prepared in accordance with the do's and don'ts as mentioned in the scriptures and shastras. The material for the sacrifice, like the ghee, which is prepared from the cow's milk, earth, which is gathered from anthills, the royal equestrian stables, royal elephant stables, and royal palace enclosures, the banyan tree twigs, the spoons made of special wood, were all collected under Bhagwan's personal guidance and instruction. Altogether, 2,26,270 spoonfuls of ghee were offered during the 7 mornings into the sacrificial fire, with the concurrent invocation of the appropriate name of the Lord among his multifarious invocations. In one of the evenings, Bhagwan mentioned that the Vedas declare that those who desire peace or shanti have to perform this auspicious ritual. Bhagwan also referred in his discourse to the derision with which many Indians react when they see that so much ghee is poured into the sacrificial fire. And Bhagwan mentioned on that day, and it's a very important insight, and I quote Bhagwan, "When ghee is poured into the fire, those who do not know or believe in the Vedas may say that it is a waste. In a similar fashion, those who do not know agriculture may cry that casting seeds in the furrow is a colossal waste. However, they do not know that the tiller will get the grain back 100-fold at the time of harvest. This yajnam is also like that. Letters reach the addressee only when they are duly stamped with mantras and dropped into the sacrificial fire. The chanting of mantras for separate deities is like posting a letter, a prayer to that specific deity. This is very much a science as much as any other prevalent in this land." Sri Upaluri Ganapati Shastri, a 70-year-old scholar, one of the very few in India who could expound every syllable of the Vedas in conformity with the authentic commentaries as laid down in the scriptures, and on whom learned society showered titles like Vidya Bhashya Visharadha and Veda Bhashya Alankara, was chosen by Bhagwan as a president of the Jnana section of the Yajna. And Sri Shastri mentioned that he had not had the privilege of witnessing such a scrupulously correct yaga which could pass the most rigorous tests of ancient Indian scriptures and traditions. It was the very first time that he had seen such a yaga being performed in Bhagwan's divine presence in 1961 at Prashanti Nilayam. He also declared on that occasion that Bhagwan is the very embodiment of Veda Purusha. I conclude by stating what Bhagwan had mentioned on that day. He said, "Do not be misled. I am not the person performing this yaga. I am the person receiving the sacrificial offerings, and I am the one who is bestowing on you the awards of conducting this yajna." With these few words, taking us back into time 50 years ago, when the first yajna was performed in Bhagwan's divine physical presence during Navaratri at Prashanti Nilayam, I introduce to you two speakers who have been blessed to address the gathering on this first day of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. The first speaker is Dr. Jagdish Chandra, Assistant Professor, Department of Physics, Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanti Nilayam Campus. Dr. Jagdish Chandra hails from the steel town of Bhilai, Chhattisgarh. He completed his schooling from Raipur in Chhattisgarh and thereafter joined the Bachelor of Science Honours Program in Physics in the Vrindavan campus of the Institute. And he finished the Masters of Science program in Physics from the Prashanti Nilayam campus of the Institute in 2005. Thereafter, by Bhagwan's blessings, he completed his Master of Philosophy program in Physics with a specialization in Biophotonics in 2007 and was conferred the Doctor of Philosophy in Biophotonics in the year 2010 at the divine hands of our most beloved Bhagwan. In 2011, he was selected for the Young Scientist Award by Dr. K.V. Rao Scientific Society, Hyderabad. Dr. Jagdish Chandra is very interested in dramatics and public speaking and has coordinated a number of cultural programs in the college and mandir. He would be speaking to us on the theme, A Deal with the Divine. The second speaker for this evening's program is Sri G. Nagarjuna, a student of the second year program in Masters of Business Administration at the Prashanti Nilayam campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Nagarjuna hails from the metropolitan city of Chennai in Tamil Nadu. He completed his 12th class from the Sri Satyasai Higher Secondary School in the year 2007 and his Bachelor's of Science program in Economics in 2010 from the Prashanti Nilayam campus of the Institute. An aspiring IAS officer, Sri Nagarjuna was a member of the winning team for the Tata Business Leadership Awards held in Prashanti Nilayam campus of the Institute in July 2011 and was also a member of the winning team for the recently concluded Inter-House University Quiz Competition in September 2011. Sri Nagarjuna's areas of interest include public speaking and the game of tennis. Sri Nagarjuna would be speaking to us on the significance of the Navaratri festival and the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna in our lives. I would now request the speakers to come and address us in the order that they have been introduced. Jai Sai Ram.
గిరిజా భవాని శివరంజని, మాతు భవాని వరదాయిని, జయ జయ గిరివర రాజకిశోరి, జయ మహేషముఖ చంద్రచకోరి, జగ గజ వదన షడానన మాత, జగజ్జనని దామిని ధుని గాత, నహి తవ ఆది మధ్య అవసాన, అమిత ప్రభావ వేదు నహి జానా, భవ భవ విభవ కారిణి, విశ్వ విమోహిని, స్వవస విహారిణి. With humility and love, I offer myself at the divine lotus feet of my Lord and Master. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. At the outset, let me take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy and holy Navratri. Many a times we have dreams, and dreams are of different kinds. Once a man dreamt that he was in a shopping mall. To his utter amazement, when he came to the billing counter, he found God at the billing counter. Amazed and surprised, he asked God, "God, what do you sell here?" And God replied, "Whatever your heart desires." This was a rare opportunity, getting to buy something directly from God. So it was not worth asking for paltry things. He pondered a while and asked God, "God, I want truth. I want peace. I want love. I want satisfaction. I want everything that can make my life better and happier." God chuckled with a smile and replied, "Son, we don't sell fruits here, only seeds. The path is shown, we have to walk the path. And as we live our lives, we find our life to be a life of deals. We deal with people, we deal with elders, we deal with everyone around. But for a moment, just for a moment, imagine, we need to deal with divinity. When God comes in front of us and we get an opportunity to strike a deal with Him, what do we do? The best part of this relationship of striking a deal with God is we are always going to win. If we find in our analysis, God is a very bad competitor, for He rejoices when we win and He cries when we lose, although we might think that He is our opponent many times. Let me take you back to Dwapar Yuga to narrate a story of a beautiful deal that took place between the little Krishna and a fruit seller. This fruit seller was from a low caste or the Nishada clan, and she was selling the jamun fruits. As she was of the low caste, she was naturally shunned. People did not welcome her into their houses or compounds. And she slowly and steadily made her way out of the village. But wait a minute. At one point in time, she found a little dark complexioned boy playing in the veranda of his house. Enchanted by his beauty, she goes into the house of Nanda. And there she finds that little Krishna. He beckons her and says, "Mai, will you give me those jambul fruits?" Mesmerized and enchanted as she was by his beauty, she could not refuse and said, "Yes." And he said, "I want many of them." Poor lady as she was, she could not get rid of her business tactics. And she said, "Son, you might take as many fruits as you want, but in return you need to give me something." Lord played his drama to perfection. He said, "Mother, I don't have anything. What do you want?" She said, "Can you give me some grains of rice?" He said, "Yes, that we have in plenty in our granary." So the Lord ran inside to get a handful of grains in his little hands in return of the many jambul fruits that he would get. As he walked down and ran towards the veranda, through the gaps in his little fingers, those grains escaped. And finally, when he reached to the fruit cellar, there were hardly a few grains sticking to his beautiful pink palms. With abated excitement, as the Lord said, "Look, Mother, how many grains I got for you," and dusted those 3 or 4 grains that were sticking onto his hands. Bewitched by that beauty, that innocence, the poor fruit seller decided to be a God's pauper, not knowing that the God's pauper is the richest man. For he gets the riches not only of this world, but beyond. As Swami beautifully said, "Nannu nammina vaarni anname kaadu, anandamu kuda istanu." Not merely bread, but bliss also. When she returned back to her abode, she found her basket heavy, not with the few grains of rice, but with precious jewels. At that point in time, what could she think about the deal that she'd struck with God? Many a times our life is too very similar. Knowingly or unknowingly, we strike a deal with God, but at the end of it, it is we who are victorious always, for God wants us to learn the most important lesson. In every deal struck, in any deal struck, what he teaches is the greatest lesson of life, that is love. The first part, when we too have our desires and we go into the balcony of the Lord to make a deal. It was in Banaras that Bhagwan had gone to bless the devotees there on his trip to North India. And there was Kasturi Garu with Bhagwan. Since it was the holy city of Banaras, he had that in his mind that he should get initiated into a mantra by Bhagwan himself. So he had a bath early in the morning, fasted throughout the day in expectation of one mantra from Swami. The day passed. Excitement gave way to despair and then finally to dejection. And the lunch had a very strange prospect. He found himself sitting right next to Bhagwan. And Bhagwan, in his divinely down-to-earth way, questioned him, "Kasturi, why aren't you eating anything?" In a sorrowful swallowing of sobs, Kasturiji said, "Swami, the mantra." Innocently, Bhagwan again posed a question. "What will happen with the mantra, Kasturi?" Kasturiji said, "Swami, I will go closer to the Lord." Swami pointed towards his hand, which was touching that of Kasturiji, and pointing towards that, Swami said, "Kasturi, how much more closer can you get to God?" It was a revelation. Not that he did not know with whom he was, but with the point that what separated him from knowledge was merely a veil of ignorance. What joy, what thrill, what energy that would have filled Kasturiji's heart could be experienced with each one of us when we say in our lives with pride that we lived with God. We strike a deal and we get much more. Kasturiji struck a deal for mantra and got Mahadeva himself. Coming to the next part, we move ahead. We strike a deal and we think we have something to offer to God. Like the fruit seller thought she had jamun fruits to offer to Lord Krishna. The beauty with God is at the superficial level, when we try to see, we feel that it is we who are giving. But if you see with eyes of wisdom, if you observe carefully, we'll notice that even when the Lord is receiving, it is his hand which is on top. Very beautifully it has been said by Acharya Vishnudas, కైటబ్ సోనర కాసుర సోపల మేమధు సోమర సోజిన మరియో లోక చతుర్దశ రక్షక కేశవ పూరణ వేద పురాణ విచార్యో శ్రీకమలాకుజ కుంకుమ మండన పండిత దేవా దేవని హార్యో సోకర మాంగన కోబలి పేకర తారహు నేకర తారుపసారియో. ద వన్ హూ కుడ్ కిల్ డెమన్స్ లైక్ మధు అండ్ కైటబ్ ఇన్ అ సెకండ్, ద వన్ హూ ఇస్ వర్షిప్డ్ బై గాడెస్ లక్ష్మి హర్ సెల్ఫ్, ఫర్ దాట్ పర్సన్, for that entity, for that supreme being, was it a necessity to ask from Bali Chakravarti for 3 paces of land? But even when he stretched his hand to ask for 3 paces of land, 3 feet of land, it was the Lord who was conferring immortality on Bali. It was the year 1999, the convocation drama being directed by Bhagwan. And there was a role of the Pandavas being played in the drama. Bhagwan, as he was very enthusiastic, the way he plays his role to perfection, he said, "Mana pillalu sakshat pandavulla gundali." Our boys should look like Pandavas, exactly like Pandavas. Means there should be nothing less in their brilliance. So the teacher in charge had a very important responsibility to find the best possible garments or clothes or costumes for that particular role or for those roles. He tried day in and day out. He found some costumes, but they were not to the satisfaction of Bhagwan. Finally, they decided that maybe these small towns or villages nearby will not have that which Bhagwan needed. For the director of the convocation drama was none other than the director of the cosmos, and definitely his tastes would be ethereal. The teacher went to Bangalore and found a person who used to supply costumes to the film industry and very big drama groups. He got a gorgeous pair of costumes. And as he showed to Bhagwan, Bhagwan's eyes lit up. And Swami said, "Yes, these are the best costumes. Our boys will really look grand." But as the director was God, and the drama was ethereal, the prices too were astronomical. And when the price was mentioned, Bhagwan said, "No, that is too much." Not that the Lord of the universe could not afford, but he had a very beautiful lesson in store for us. At the end, when there was silence in the interview room, slowly Swami asked the teacher, "Did you mention to that person that these costumes are being asked by Sai Baba? Did you mention that name?" So much we get used to the physical form and divinity around us that we forget who he is. We think those are few grains of rice like the fruit seller, but no, they are pearls. That is that name which made the monkeys cross the ocean. It is that name which is known as the Taraka Mantra. It is the same name, Sai. The teacher realized, yes, in his entire conversation with the dealer for the costumes, he never for once mentioned the name of Bhagwan. Next day, he went back to Bangalore and mentioned. He said, "Sir, these clothes are actually for Sai Baba's university. They are performing a drama." The moment the person heard the name Sai Baba, the next day, he wound up his entire shop and was found in Puttaparthi. He said, "Why didn't you tell me that it is for Swami? I have been searching for one opportunity to serve him." But that is not the end of the story. This time the teacher was all excited when he came and reported to Swami. But Swami was waiting for a very important message to be conveyed. He was just sitting at ease, the Brahman that he is. And he said, "Chudra, ఒక్కసారి సాయి అంటే చాలు, అన్ని పళ్ళు జరుగుతాయి. వాట్ యు నీడ్ టు డూ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ టేక్ ద నేమ్ సాయి జస్ట్ వన్స్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విల్ బి డన్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విల్ బి అచీవ్డ్. దాట్ ఈస్ ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్." What we achieve in our lives is not what we do, is not what we are capable of, but is what he wills. Only by the power of his name, only by the power of his presence, only his divine will confers everything unto us. Finally, the fruit seller receives the grains and finds they are the precious diamonds. Should she rejoice for those diamonds, or should she rejoice for that purity of love, that love that she could experience in the presence of Lord Krishna? Who wins? Who wins the deal is a question for each one of us to answer. If we find out for ourselves and try to ask a question, why does God incarnate? Is it yada yada hi dharmasya? Is it yoga kshemam vahamyaham? Is it manmanabhava madbhakto? What is it? I possibly do not have an answer, for I do not have the capacity to measure the need. I do not know when the omniscient decides, when the supreme decides to come and condense himself into a body encased in five elements. I don't know. But yes, something that I have felt, something that I had seen, and I'm sure something which each one of us have felt here, is what we learned because of the God we saw, because of the God He is. He is even today with us, within us, around us. If not for Him, I would never have known what is compassion, unless and until He caressed my cheeks for one more time in spite of the follies that I committed. I would never have known what forgiveness was if He did not give me that one more opportunity to kiss His feet in spite of feeling miserable of the blunders that I committed. In spite of doing all that was wrong, His one look that fell on me and told me, I love you. Possibly I could not have understood a better meaning of what love was. To make it precise, I would not have understood what I was unless and until I was in His presence. With that prayer, that we all strike our deals, for we are sure to be the winners. For He is on our side, wherever we are, whatever we do, be with Him. With these few words, I take leave of you. Jai Sai Ram.
Long time ago, when God created man, man constantly pestered God with trivial problems out of his innocence. For every day, man went to God and asked Him, God, solve me this problem, solve this problem. Please give me peace, please give me joy. And this problem went on and on and on. God, as perfect and omniscient as He was, He knew that He had created man, the pinnacle of His creation, in His true image, perfect and full as Godhead Himself. God wanted to distance Himself away from man physically so that man could connect to God within. To make this attempt practical, God moved Himself away. He first moved to forest. Man, as clever as he was, went to forest. Then God went under the waters. Man again went and found Him there. He went to hills, hillocks, and even reached Mount Kailasha. And there too, man reached Him. Now, God was facing a pertinent problem. Wherever I go, man comes and finds me. But alas, man doesn't seem to be happy. To answer this very question of God, Narada came to God and told Him, God, there is one place, and that one place you go and abide. Not all would come and meet you there. God was eager and wanted to know which place was it. Narada came and told God, and that place is the place which is there everywhere, but very few can come and meet you there. And that place is the innermost recess of the heart of the universe, the innermost recess of the heart of each one of us. To my most beloved Bhagwan, who is seated in the innermost recess of my heart, the heart of the universe, I offer my most humble salutations to him. Respected elders, sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. The story that I mentioned before doesn't end there. Time passed and God, out of his compassion, saw that very few people could come and actually come and have contact with him there. Compassionate as God was, he again beckoned Narada and asked him to ensure that man do not face the problem of being away from God. Narada sat, contemplated and pondered over this problem for a while. Then he came upon a solution. He said to God, "God, no doubt you are within the heart of each and every man. But we can create symbols, we can create spaces in time wherein man can devote and dedicate himself in your memory and in your contemplation. It is in this regard that this holy land of Bharat celebrates festival time and again all through the year. Navratri is one such festival wherein we take time away from our mundane schedule and move within to seek the divinity which is present within us and to unleash it to its fullest potential. This auspicious festival of Navratri is an attempt, rather it is a symbol wherein each one of us tap that divinity of God embodied as Mother Devi in the three forms of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati and worshipping it in the principle as well as the form. So what is this principle of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati? The very fact that each one of us here is alive, breathing in and breathing out at ease, is the principle of Goddess Durga. The very fact that our limbs move, our mind thinks, and our bodies and limbs keep moving, is the blessings of Goddess Mahalakshmi. With these two facets of divinity, to give meaning to our life, meaning to our thought, word and action, is the principle of Goddess Saraswati. This form of divinity has been worshipped in this holy land of Bharat from time immemorial, for God is not at a place far away from us, but at a place very close to us, and paradoxically a place far away from us, because that place is verily within us. Now, understanding this facet of divinity in its form, let us look at the form of Goddess Durga. Seated on the majestic lion, having the trident with her and destroying the demon Mahishasura, Goddess Durga is called as Mahishasura Mardini. Well, the lion on which Goddess Durga is seated symbolizes our confidence, the confidence which is based on our arrogance. The trident is a symbol of Goddess Durga having complete control over Trigunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. The demon Mahishasura is a symbol of desires, the desires which constantly multiply and add, the desire which never goes away from us. When one worships this Goddess Durga with all his heart, Goddess Durga clarifies and ends the endless agitations of our mind, paving way for Goddess Lakshmi to come and fill us with the wealth. Let us look at the lotus on which Goddess Lakshmi is seated. The Sanatana Dharma has often worshipped lotus as a supreme principle, for this lotus is not an ordinary lotus but a thousand-petaled one symbolizing all forms of knowledge and wealth. Seated on this lotus, Goddess Lakshmi fills us with wealth. After filling ourselves with wealth, we have Goddess Saraswati who comes and plays the melody of Veena, the cosmic sound Om, which is the source and substance of all forms of knowledge. In our lives too, it is mother who comes and tells us who our father is. Likewise, this goddess Devi in the form of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati has the sole authority to show us our source, the way, the Purusha. Swami in his form as Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati has time and again blessed us with courage of goddess Durga, the wealth of goddess Lakshmi and the knowledge of goddess Saraswati. And he has started this Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna, beckoning us to understand who we are, Amritasya Putraha. So what is this Yajna all about? And the meaning of renunciation is offering or sacrifice. Well, what is it that we need to offer or sacrifice? If we look closely, is there anything in this earth which we can call as ours? If we take 5 minutes, 50 minutes or even our whole life, it will be very difficult if we use all of our intellect to find out what really is ours. If that is the case, then what is the meaning of this renunciation? After all, what do we have with us that we can say that we have renounced this to God? To be frank and honest, each one of us can answer to himself saying that we have nothing which we can claim as an offering to God. Yet, what is the symbol of renunciation or offering? If we look closely in our lives, there is one factor which constantly comes with us, and that factor is indecisiveness. Filled with plenty of choices, we always are at the juncture of crossroads, deciding and thinking to do this or to do that, and that is the root of confusion. It is in this confusion that we are lost and we do not know what to do. We may pretend by putting up a smile, telling others that we are happy, but true to ourselves, when you are alone, we can answer that, yes, I do not have that joy. Renunciation is an attempt to understand and to move within, to give up what has never been ours. To talk about it, I am reminded of an anecdote which Swami often iterates. A man wanted to go from one town to another. For this, he chose to go by a train. For his journey, he carried his luggage with him on his head. And as he went inside the train, he still kept the luggage on his head and sat on his seat. His fellow passengers too did the same thing. After a point in time, this man started feeling immense pain in his neck. Not knowing what to do, this man asked his fellow passengers. His fellow passengers casually dismissed his appeal and said, "That is the way of life. You need to put up with it." However, this man was pained in his neck and wanted to find out what exactly is the true solution. He was agonized and he waited patiently. A wise man, old, came to him and told him, "Son, if you want to get rid of the pain, take the luggage from your head and put it down." Filled with pain as he was, this man took the luggage from his head and put it down. Immediately he found relief and succor, for the pain had left. This man bubbled with curiosity and wanted to know what was it that helped him to come out of pain. The answer was quite simple. He removed the bag from his head and put it on the train. For this, the wise man gave two important points. The points that each one of us here need to remember and follow it every day in our life. Point number one. You asked your fellow passengers to give you solace and succor, but weren't you wise enough to see that they themselves are filled in the pain and agony of life, for they have not yet kept the burden on the train. So, when you come across difficulties and situations which you cannot control, if you ask people who themselves are foolish, believe that they cannot offer you everlasting solution. The second point is very important. The train which can carry you can also carry the luggage, and it requires only one thing. Your trust in the train that it can carry your luggage, based on which you can take the luggage from your head and keep it on the train. If we pause here for a moment and understand the story in each one of our lives here, would we not be convinced of the fact that what is required from us now is trust? Pause and then think. You are able to breathe in and breathe out spontaneously without any effect or effort from your side. The food which you put into your stomach gets digested easily. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west without any effort. The earth moves normally without causing any trouble to all other planets. The breeze gently wafts in the air and fills you with joy. When all these things move, go ahead without your slightest intervention and happen spontaneously, then why is it that we all are pestered with this disease of distrust? The disease wherein we are not able to completely trust God. If blood flows all through our body without any effort, if we are able to stand here, I am able to speak and you are able to listen, what is it, that power which is able to enable us to do the activity which we are doing now? If that power is something which is beyond us and is taking care of us every moment, then why is it that we are not able to trust that power to take care of our day-to-day activities? And this point is something which we need to sit silently and ponder over. And once we get the answer to this point, our lives will be filled with peace. The other aspect of renunciation is sacrifice. Give up, give up. The Vedas proclaim, Nakarmana na prajaya dhane na tyage naike amritatvama nashuhu. Neither by action, nor by progeny, nor by wealth, or by anything else you attain immortality. It is only through sacrifice. It is only through renunciation. Having presented the case, the anecdote of the train incident, if we look further and understand what is it that we need to give up, let us listen to this anecdote. Michelangelo, as he is called elsewhere, was a very great sculptor in Italy. He came out with his masterpiece, David and Goliath. It was indeed a marvel on rock. Passers-by and visitors were intrigued and filled with curiosity as to how this man could make such a beautiful masterpiece. Unable to overcome their curiosity, they approached Michelangelo and asked him, how did he manage to do it? Michelangelo's reply was very beautiful. He said, when I looked into the rock, I saw David and Goliath, and whatever wasn't David and Goliath, I felt free to chisel it out. And having chiseled out what was not David and Goliath, I present to you what is David and Goliath. After hearing this anecdote, I was reminded of my childhood days, wherein at various points in time, my mother often chided me. She scolded me and she also bit me now and then. The reason was she wanted my well-being and my life to be filled with virtue and happiness. If that is the case with me, and that is the same case, I presume, is with you all, then what greater role the master sculptor has in our life to play? Bhagwan, he constantly chisels all that is not required. He constantly chisels out what is not required in our day-to-day life. He constantly removes, so that finally we are left with what we actually are, the undiluted form of conscience. Having spoken about the principle of Goddess Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati, and the true spirit of renunciation, we all would admit that we all are seated here because we seek one thing, and that one thing is peace and contentment in our day-to-day life. What not we do, right from getting up to going to sleep, we work, we toil, we speak, we act, we do this, we do that for that one thing, and that is peace and contentment. We also fill our minds with really noble intentions that we need to transform the world, transform the community around us, so that we can be filled with peace. Let us listen to what the great Sufi Bayazid has to say in this regard. I quote, I was a revolutionary when I was young, and all my prayer to God was, Lord, give me the energy to change the whole world. As I approached middle age and realized that half of my life was gone without my changing a single soul, I changed my prayer to, Lord, give me the grace to change all those who come in contact with me, my friends, my family, and my relatives. That is enough. Now that I am an old man and my days are numbered, my only prayer is, Lord, Give me the grace to change myself. As soon as I prayed, the grace was immediately showered on me and I was instantly transformed. Having been transformed, I looked into the world. I looked into my community, my family, my friends and my fellow men. And what I saw was completely different. My perspective of things, my perspective of people had completely changed. I saw them as perfect as God Himself was. On this holy occasion of Navaratri and the beginning of Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna, if at all we are to ask ourselves one thing, and that is how happy I am, how peaceful and contented I am. If each one of us asked this question to himself or herself, we would come with the solution. Even before the solution, we would come with the status of where we are. And the greatest problem in life is not to do great things, it is to have trust in God. For if we have trust in God, what not can be done? We have one greatest problem in our life. It is neither we trust nor we distrust, but we are somewhere stuck in between. We say, yeah, I trust God 50%, I trust God 70%. If some more experience comes to my life, yeah, I trust Him 80%. If this experience comes, my trust falls down to 60%. And that is the case with all our lives. We may pat our shoulders telling that, yeah, we are all mortal beings and that is the way we live. But have we questioned our own belief and our own notions that is that the way that we all live? If we pause at least once a day and look into what has happened in our lives, and the normal reaction would be, if something has happened to us which has filled our identity, we feel happy. On the other hand, if something has happened which has, if I were to say, nulled my identity, I'd feel bad and hurt. But if we look at it closely, we would come to one conclusion, and that conclusion is, whatever happens to me is a gift and a benediction from God. And this auspicious occasion of Navaratri and the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna is an endeavor by our beloved Bhagavan to help us to understand that all that we need to do in life is just one thing. Trust me. Trust Bhagavan. If at all, at any point in time, we are faced with difficulties, the immediate reaction will be, oh Bhagavan, why is it that you have given to me? But there are very few people who actually can pray, wow, that is an opportunity given to me to test my trust in Bhagavan. And if that is the lesson which we take away and we follow it in our day-to-day life, the one offering which we can give to Bhagavan is our lives filled with peace and contentment. With these few words, I conclude my speech. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Continuing with the half century old tradition of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, wherein we have Bhagavan's divine discourse, we now have an excerpt from the divine discourse given by Bhagavan during the Navaratri festival on 20th October 2001. In this discourse, Bhagavan gives us the inner significance of the Navaratri festival, the purpose of worshipping the triune principles of Mahakali, Mahadurga and Mahasaraswati, and also gives a very important message for his students where he highlights the importance of morality in human life. While the discourse will be played and even subsequently in the program, there are beautiful visuals of Bhagavan's divine form which will be displayed on the screens on either side of the Kulbanth Hall and also in the plasma screens put up at different vantage points across the Sai Kulbanth Hall. Sai Ram.
Prema Swarupulara.
Embodiments of love.
Navaratrulu anaga emiti?
What do you mean by Navaratri?
9 ratrulu.
9 nights.
Ee 9 ratrulu lopala kudanu
throughout this
divyattamainatundi atma tattvanni
during these 9 nights,
Mahadurga, Mahakali, Mahasaraswati, ane perlato chintinchali ani purvikulu ikoka niyamam niyamincharu.
Earlier people have prescribed, stipulated the worship of God as in the names of Mahadurga, Mahakali, Mahasaraswati during this period of 9 nights.
Durga naga yeviti.
Who is Durga?
Durga naga sarva shaktulato koodinatundi.
Durga has got all mighty powers.
Samasta mano shaktulu, buddhi shaktulu, atma shaktulu, moodinti yokka ekatvamune Durga antaru.
Durga represents the combination of the physical power, the intellectual potential and the mental capacities.
Inka Mahakali.
Then comes Mahakali.
Anaga emti moodinti yokka ekatvanni prakatinchi dushta samharam cheyatame Kali.
Kali expresses the combination of these three and kills the wicked and the evil.
ఎక్కడో ఒక కాళి ఉన్నది ఎక్కడో ఒక దుర్గం ఉన్నది అని చెప్పుకోవటం కాదు మానవుని ఎందే ఇది కనిపిస్తూనే ఉంటున్నది.
Durga and Kali are not present at separate places.
మనసుండి ఆవిర్భవించేటువంటి ఒక దుర్గుణములే.
The bad qualities in you.
ఈ దుర్గుణములు బుద్ధిని అనుసరించక.
And they do not follow the intellect.
Indriyamulanu anusarinchadam cheta.
Because they are after senses.
Durabhyasamula cheta.
Because of bad habits.
Durmargamulaku lobadi.
And submits to wickedness.
Dushta shaktiga roopantutu vachindi.
And shapes itself a very cruel.
కనుకనే ఇట్టి దుష్ట శక్తిని దునుమాడి దివ్యత్వమైనటువంటి ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని దర్శింపచేసేకే ఈ యొక్క దుర్గా అనేటువంటి ఒక తత్వమును ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
దుర్గా రిప్రజెంట్స్ ద కిల్లింగ్ ఎన్హిలేషన్ ఆఫ్ క్రూయల్టీ అండ్ వికెడ్నెస్ అండ్ బ్రింగింగ్ ఫోర్త్ ద డివినిటీ ఇన్ ప్రిస్టైన్ ఫామ్.
ఈ 9 దినములు కూడాను అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క దుర్గుణములను దురాచారములను దుర్మార్గములను దునుమాడి దివ్యత్వాన్ని పవిత్రతను అభివృద్ధి పోషించుకోవటమే ఈ యొక్క 10 దినముల యొక్క సహజ లక్షణము.
ద మెయిన్ పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ది సెలబ్రేషన్ ఆఫ్ 9 నైట్స్ లైజ్ ఇన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెసింగ్ ద డివినిటీ, డెవలపింగ్ ది సీక్రెట్ క్వాలిటీ, రిమూవింగ్ ఆల్ వికెడ్ క్వాలిటీస్, బ్యాడ్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్.
మంచి మాట వినరు మనసిచ్చి చెప్పిన.
You don't listen, pay heed to the words though they are said out of heart.
Enta prema chetano enta daya chetano enta karuna chetano manasichi cheppinatundi matalu manavudu ye matram kudanu vinatam ledu.
Out of infinite love, mercy and compassion, though good words are told, you don't pay heed to them.
Manasu lekunda kevalamu maya manasulepai konni prabodhalu chestunte aa durgunamulanta kudanu chaala sulabhanga vintuntaru.
Without any psychological involvement, with full of imagination and delusion, those things that are said, they are believed.
ఇవి వినడానికి కాదు చెవులిచ్చిండేది.
In fact, the ears are not given to you to listen to all that.
ఒక ఊరి వారి శుద్ధులంటే మీరు సిద్ధమవుతారే కడు శ్రద్ధతోడ.
You are ready, quite ready, be prepared to listen to all gossip and the vain talk of the neighbor.
ముద్దుగాను భగవత్ ముచ్చటాలు చెప్పివేడ వద్దికలు నుండలేరా ఓ చెవులా.
Oh ears, you are not ready to listen to the stories and the glory of God.
ఈ మంచి మాటలకు రెండు చెవులు వద్దిక చేరవు.
The two ears are not ready to listen to good words.
చెడ్డ మాటలకు ఇంకా 4 చెవులు పెట్టుకొని వింటారు.
To listen to bad words, we'll have additional ears also.
ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడ్మెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
ఈనాటి విద్యార్థులు,
మోడర్న్ స్టూడెంట్,
నైతిక విద్యలను ఏమాత్రము నేర్చుకోవడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయటం లేదు.
దే ఆర్ నాట్ మేకింగ్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు నో మోరల్ వాల్యూస్.
నైతికమైనటువంటి చాలా విలువైనటువంటిది.
మొరాలిటీ ఇస్ హైలీ వాల్యుబుల్.
ఈ మొరాలిటీ లేకున్నటువంటి మానవుడు నిజమైనటువంటి మానవుడే కాదు.
హీ కెనాట్ బి ఎ ట్రూ హ్యూమన్ ఇఫ్ హీస్ నాట్ మోరల్.
ఈ మొరాలిటీని మనం పెంచుకోవటమే నిజమైనటువంటి చదువు.
True education wants you to develop the moral values.
ఈ మొరాలిటీని పెంచుకోకుండా ఎన్ని పెంచుకుని ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
Without developing morality, what for is the rest of the
education? గొప్ప ధనమును సంపాదించాము.
You may earn money.
గొప్ప భవనములు కట్టాము.
You constructed
గొప్ప ఉద్యోగములు చేశాము.
You have undertaken high jobs.
కానీ ఎన్ని చేసి ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
What for all this?
మొరాలిటీ లేకపోతే అవన్నీ కూడా వ్యర్థమే.
Without morality, they would all be in vain. Expect to be happy.
విద్యార్థులారా,
students,
ఈనాటి ప్రథమ దినం కనుకనే,
this being the first day,
మీరు ముందు జరగవలసినటువంటివన్నీ కూడా కొంచెం సింపుల్ గా ఈనాడు చెప్తూ వచ్చాను.
What all that would happen in future is conveyed in a simple form.
ముఖ్యంగా మనము జీవితంలో సాధించవలసినటువంటిది మొరాలిటీ.
What you have to achieve in life is morality.
మైండ్ అనేటువంటి దాన్ని పవిత్రమైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశపెట్టాలి.
We should make our mind thread along the sacred path.
भजन बिना सुख शांति नहीं, हरि भ
Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, West Bengal, Paschim Bengal, presents this evening Baul Sangeet by Baul Samrat Sri Purno Das Baul and his son Sri Bibhyandu Das Baul and party. Sri Purno Das Baul is a world famous Baul singer and has performed in the divine presence of our most beloved Bhagawan on the occasion of the 50th birthday celebrations of Swami in November 1975. Baul Sangeet is a typical folk song of rural Bengal, which derives its devotional inputs from Hinduism, that is Sanatana Dharma, Sufism and Buddhism. Its hymns give the lessons of spiritual practices in daily life to all mankind. We now have a Baul Sangeet Sandhya presentation by Sri Purno Das Baul and party. Sai Ram.
ছেড়ে দিলে সাইয়ের চরণ আর তো পাব না, আমি ছেড়ে দিলে সাইয়ের চরণ আর তো পাব না, না না ছেড়ে দেব না, আমি ঋদ বাজারে রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না, ছেড়ে দিলে সাইরে চরণ আর তো পাব না, আমি ছেড়ে দিলে সাইয়ের চরণ আর তো পাব না, না না ছেড়ে দেব না, আমি ঋদ বাজারে রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না। বসায় পদধুলি যাব সায়ের ফুলে ফুলে মাগব সায়ের পদধুলি, আমি সায়ের নামে পাগল হয়ে থাকব মগনা, আমি দুধ মাঝারে রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না, আমি দুধ মাঝারে রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না। ভুবন মোহন জনার মন চোরা, আমি রাধার প্রেমে পাগল হয়ে আর তো ফিরব না, আমি নয়নে নয়ন দিয়া আর তো ফিরব না, না না ছেড়ে দেব না, আমি বিধ মাঝার রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না, আমি বিধ মাঝার রাখব ছেড়ে দেব না।
জনম ঘুরে ফিরে মানব জনম পেয়েছি রে সাধের মানব জনক পেয়েছি রে
গ ভজলে হরি বংশীদারি হৃদয় হবে না গ ভজলে হরি বংশীদারি হৃদয় হবে না না না
ছেড়ে দেব না আমি ছেড়ে দেব না আমি ছেড়ে দেব না ছেড়ে দিলে সোনার গৌ আরে আর তো পাব না আমি দিদ মাঝারে রাখবো ছেড়ে দেব না আমি দিদ মাঝারে রাখবো ছেড়ে দেব না আমি দিদ মাঝারে রাখবো ছেড়ে দেব না
বিহারী
খেলেকে পুরুষ খেলেকে নারী একলা নিতাই অনিতাই খেলেকে পুরুষ খেলেকে নারী একলা নিতাই হরি নাম দিয়ে জগৎ মাতালে আমার একলা নিতাই হরি নাম দিয়ে জগৎ মাতালে আমার একলা নিতাই আমার একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই আমার একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই একলা নিতাই হরি নাম দিয়ে জগৎ মাতালে আমার একলা নিতাই হরি নাম দিয়ে জগৎ মাতালে আমার একলা নিতাই রাখতেন সাইরাম ভালো যদি রাখতেন সাইরাম আমায় রাখতেন সাইরাম Thank you.
সেবা করা সায়ের শিক্ষা।
Thank you. পাপি জরে বসে হৃদয়পি জরে বসে ও পাখিরা ডাকিসে
পঞ্চী রাধে কৃষ্ণ নাম বলো না
Do you శంకరి అంబా కాదంబరి శ్వేతాంబరి హరిశోదరి అంబా కాదంబరి శ్వేతాంబరి హరిశోదరి అంబా శంకరి పరమేశ్వరి శశిశేఖరి అంబ జయ జగదీశ హరే స్వామి సత్య సాయి హరే భక్త జనా సంరక్షక భక్త జనా సంరక్షక పతి మహేశ్వర ఓం జయ జగదీశ శశి వదనాశీకర సర్వా ప్రాణపతి స్వామి సర్వా ప్రాణపతి ఆశ్రిత కల్పల దీకా ఆశ్రిత కల్పల దీకా అవతారవా ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరే మాతా పితా గురుదేవము మరియంతయు నీవే స్వామి మరియంతయు నీవే నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాద బ్రహ్మ జగన్నాథ నాగేంద్రాశ్రయ ఓం జయ జగదీశ మందర గిరిధారి ఓం జయ జగదీశ హరి నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం సత్య నారాయణ 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 ఓం సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం సత్య నారాయణ నారాయణ ఓం జయ సద్గురుదేవా
జయ